Well, it's wonderful to be back to Orange County and just appreciate your leadership team here. It's wonderful. I do have some newsletters out there as you go out. You can see them. Feel free to take one as you go out. Gives you some information about our ministry. If you want to sign up to receive our information on a monthly basis, you can do that as well there. I had dinner last night with your pastoral staff and spouses, and it was a wonderful time together. And I'm not sure how many years we have been doing this, but it's been just the connection with this church has been very, very special. And I knew this morning that I was now accepted as a part of the team when they gave me one of these. So there you go. So I'll wear this all over the country. So there you go. Thank you very much. Just a little bit of an update before we get into the Word. And by the way, you can turn to 1 Peter 1 if you want. Our satellite broadcasting is what is happening now all the time. You know, 5 days a week in Finland, which is where our ministry is based out of. That's where our television studios are. And we're doing satellite broadcasting in Arabic and Farsi and Ethiopian, which is Amharic, and soon to be Turkish as well. And I just am so grateful for this part of our ministry, because our media evangelism campaigns that we have all scheduled for Ukraine and for Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and also for Thailand, which are very exciting, and we're really looking forward to doing those. We have not been able to do any of that during COVID, so they're all on hold still. But our satellite broadcasting out of Finland has been able to go on every day, every day, every day. Amazingly, we've seen under COVID tremendous response and increased response from what we were seeing. As it said on the video, we've averaged 200,000 responses a month from the Middle East, from Morocco to Pakistan. Many of these places that we're able to go in with satellite television, you could never go as a missionary. But we're able to go to Saudi Arabia. We're able to go to Iran, Iraq, all over, because they can't block satellite television. And it's a marvelous way of getting the gospel into that part of the world. And so we were averaging 200,000 responses a month. We opened an office in Egypt, which the U.S. side of the ministry pays for every month. It's very reasonable. We have 16 full-time workers there. Cost us only $3,000 a month to continue that work. And they have contacts all over the Middle East and are responding to people who respond to our ministry. So it's just really, really good stuff. But we've seen increase. We were averaging 200,000 a month. Now it's somewhere between 250 and 300,000 a month. As far as people who are actually making contact with our ministry, our viewership has increased 144%. So the exposure to the gospel in that part of the world is just growing, and I'm just so very grateful that we can be a part of that. Just before we get into the Word, we're going to see a short little video that Pastor Shelley put together actually for the theme on hope this morning. So enjoy that, and then we'll get started in the Word.
Have hope.
I have hope always.
Why?
Why? Why not? Doesn't do you any good to sit around and whine and moan and hope. It's got to get better. Things will get better. Jobs will come back. Stuff will happen. What kind of hope are you talking about?
Do you have hope?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I believe that God gives you hope and faith. hope? Yeah. That's all I got, really.
Do you have hope?
Do I have what?
Hope.
Hope, yeah.
Why?
Because I'm living in America.
What do you hope for?
Well, I'm going to be 80. I hope for another 5.
Okay. When you lack hope, how do you get it back?
How do I get it back? Think about all the past good times I had.
Where does hope come from?
Where does it come from? Believing.
Believing in?
What? Most anything that's been good.
Hope comes from within. You gotta have, I guess, faith.
Faith in?
Humanity.
All right, go ahead and ask me a question.
Okay. Do you have hope?
Not really, no.
Why not?
I just live every day like it's the last. I've had a lot of loss in the last 3 or 4 years.
Did you have more hope before that, you think?
Not really. Really? I'm a depressive kind of guy. Okay. I take pills.
Okay. When you lose hope, how do you get it back?
It's ask God for it back.
Do I have hope? Yeah, I got hope.
Because you could be in a hopeless situation and there's always a time for hope. I mean, it's just around every corner.
Do I have hope?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Lord Jesus Christ.
How does he give you hope?
Faith, knowing that everything's going to be okay, being certain of that.
How are you certain of it?
By faith. That's how the ancients pleased God, is by faith.
So when you lack faith, how do you find it? How do you find hope?
When you lack faith, then it's hopeless. The only thing you know then is what you can see, what you can feel, or you know what your five senses tell you. You're just a sensible person, but sensible people don't make it.
Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just going to read a couple of the verses at first. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the gathering of your people in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that we have a living hope. In dark times, in difficult times, we have a living hope. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is what Peter says. We have a living hope. The word hope means anticipation with joy. It means to have full confidence, but full confidence connected to joy. So it's anticipation, is looking forward with a sense of joy. And Peter says it's a living hope. It's a hope that does not die. It's a hope that does not dissipate. It's a hope that does not have a shelf life. It's a hope that that is not impacted by human experience. Oftentimes people try to find hope, anticipating with joy, out of their circumstances. A better job, a new marriage, a new car, a new home. Something else that will give us anticipation with joy. But the scripture makes clear that none of those things bring us hope. We only have hope in Christ. But Peter was speaking to a group of believers that were not going through wonderful times. They were going through very, very difficult times. They were believers that were now living up by the Black Sea. They were living in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia. They were called exiles. And these people, going all the way back to Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 11, we see these people were having to flee Jerusalem, and were having to flee where they were at because of persecution of those who were Christians. Peter was writing probably about AD 64 to 67 to these people in this part of the world, about 700 miles north of Jerusalem. And so people had fled that far away from Jerusalem during times of persecution. Paul actually, Acts chapter 16, Paul had actually wanted to go there. And the scripture makes clear in Acts chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit forbade him from actually going to Bithynia. I find that interesting, you know, because the call of God in your life and in my life is specific. It's not shotgun. It's not anything. It doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. You're not called to everything. How many are grateful for that? That'd be overwhelming. God has called each of us to something. It's wonderful. God has called us each to something. And the need is not the call. If the need was the call, we'd be going everywhere trying to do everything. But God calls us to specific things. So the Holy Spirit forbade Paul from actually going to this region because God was going to use other people to minister in that part of the world. And part of these people were exiles who left Jerusalem out of persecution and ended up in that part of the world, and God used them significantly to reach that part of the world. But what is Peter's message to these believers that are exiles and now living in a part of the world that wasn't their home? His message to them is that you have a living hope, even in the midst of your persecution, even in the midst of dark times, even in the midst of where it seems like you have insecurity, you're secure. And you have a sense of confidence in the midst of these dark times with joy because of the hope that you have in Christ. I almost hear Paul shouting it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, Jesus Christ is our hope. Can you say that this morning? Jesus Christ is our hope. You know, we all have plans and purposes and desires to see fulfilled in our life. And sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. But those things are not to be the base of your hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Bob Goff, who has written the book Love Does, and he's written a number of books, actually. And he's a lawyer from California quite an interesting guy, has a very interesting story. In his book, Love Does, he said this: sometimes God lets us lose hope for a moment so we will retrace our steps and find him all over again. Because your hope and my hope is found only in Christ. It's not found in all these other things. And Corrie Ten Boom, whom some of you know that name, Corrie Ten Boom lived during the time of the Second World War, and she was living in Holland with her sister and her father, and they had a clock shop, a watch shop, a jewelry shop, and they were hiding Jewish people in their building. And eventually they were caught doing so, and all three of them ended up in concentration camps, and her sister died in the concentration camp. Her father died in the concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom lived through that horrific experience. And she had a way of saying profound things in very simple ways, and this is one of the things she said. If you look to the world, you will be distressed. You know, for us today, you read the news, you see what's going on, you see what's happening in the world today. It's distressing. If you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed because none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. If you look in too much, you'll be depressed. If you look to Jesus, you will be at rest. If you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to Jesus, you will be at rest. So Paul says in Romans 12:12, he says, rejoice in hope, anticipation with joy. And what is the context? Be patient in tribulation. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. He puts those things, two things together that seem to be absolute opposites. He says these two things function together. Persecution, things not going well, and anticipation with joy. How is that possible? It is not possible in the natural. It is a gift of God. God has gifted us with hope. If you want hope, you're not going to find it circumstantially, but you are going to find it in God. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. It is God's supernatural work in you. If you will open yourself up to the work of the Holy Spirit, He will work hope within you. It is God's supernatural will for you. It is God's will that you do not live in a sense of depression or discouragement. He wants you to have anticipation with hope, anticipation with joy, anticipation with peace that passes all understanding, anticipation with joy that is beyond expression. That's what God has for us. So where does it come from? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to give you hope. The only way the resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to give you hope is if you think about the resurrection. If you give attention to the resurrection. If you focus on the resurrection. And I want to encourage you today to think about the resurrection every day. To focus on it every day. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what Paul said. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. If those who have died in Christ have perished, then those who have died in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. And so Paul goes back to this issue of the resurrection, and he says, if you want hope, if you want continued hope, if you want living hope, hope that will never die, then you need to look and focus your attention, not on what your eyes see today, but on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you in just a few minutes here. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the chief priest comes, and the chief priest's servant comes with Judas, with temple guards, with Roman soldiers, and they come to arrest Jesus. Judas has set all of this up, and as they come, Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am He. And when He said that, the power of God pushed everybody down. They all fell down. They get up, and Judas comes up to kiss Jesus. And I can see Jesus putting His hand in Judas's chest and saying, are you really going to do this? Even at that last moment. And Judas makes the choice to kiss Jesus, the kiss of treason. Peter takes out his sword. And he begins to slash with his sword. He ends up cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant just as they're coming to arrest Jesus. And in the confusion of all that's happening, I see Jesus picking up the ear of Malchus. That was the high priest's servant's name. Picks up the ear of Malchus. I can almost see Jesus blowing on the ear, cleaning the dust off the dirt off the ear, and He heals him. Can you imagine? right in the midst of all that confusion, Jesus heals the servant of the high priest. I think the reason we know his name is because he became a follower of Christ. I can't document that, but it looks to me, because we know his name, he became a follower of Jesus. I think you would become a follower of Christ, right? If your ear had just been cut off and he healed you. And so Jesus is taken, he's falsely tried, and they begin to beat him horribly, mercilessly. His back looks like a plowed field. The book of Isaiah prophetically tells us that he was marred more than any man. Can you imagine? I mean, that's beyond comprehension, that he was marred more than any man. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Pilate washes his hands of the situation, and in the process, they take him to crucify him. They put a cross on his back. But Jesus is so weak from the loss of blood and from being so horribly beaten that they can tell he's not going to be able to do it. And there happens to be a man. Here we see the sovereignty of God. There happened to be a man who had come from Libya, some 400 miles away, with his two boys, Alexander and Rufus. A long ways away, all the way across Egypt to come. And he had gotten there that very day. And as he's walking into the city, there's this huge crowd around Jesus. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's standing and watching. And the Roman soldiers took him and grabbed him and had him carry the cross. I wonder what transpired between him and Jesus. I wonder if there were any words spoken. Or I wonder if maybe it was just a look of appreciation that Jesus gave him. I'm sure many of you guys feel like I do. What an honor it would have been to carry the cross of Christ. He carries the cross. Now Jesus is nailed on that cross, and he's standing between heaven and earth. And the first thing Jesus said is, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing." And then the thief next to him speaks up and looks at Jesus, who's now almost beyond recognition. And he says to Jesus on the cross, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You think, how in the world did he know that? How did he know that Jesus had a kingdom? He didn't look like he had a kingdom. He looked like a pitiful man that was dying on a cross. But the thief, by divine revelation, understood that Jesus had a kingdom. And he said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And I love the words of Jesus. He said, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise." Aren't you grateful that salvation can be instantaneous? Hallelujah. That man instantaneously came into the kingdom of God. Instantaneously, he came to Christ. How wonderful. Jesus said, "I thirst," and they gave him something to drink. Sour wine was given to him on a sponge. And then he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know why? I know why. It was because of my sin. It was because of your sin. It was because of our rebellion. It was because of our stupidity. It was because we chose to go our own way. God put on him the sin of us all. Would you just bow your head and thank the Lord for that right now? Thank you, Jesus, for bearing my sin. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. Lord, you paid it all. You put it all upon yourself. And we just take a moment and we say, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bearing our cross, our sin upon that cross. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. And so Jesus says, "It is finished." And it was. The sin of the whole world was paid for. And as Jesus said those words, there was darkness and there was an earthquake, and the veil of the temple was torn in two to reveal that now there's an open heaven, that you and I can, on our own, come into the very presence of God. We don't have to come through a priest. We don't have to come through somebody else. We can come to God on our own. Praise be unto the name of Jesus. Tombs were open at the time of the earthquake. It's an amazing reality. The power of God was manifested. And Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he dies, and he takes the thief with him, and he goes to paradise. 1 Peter chapter 3 reveals that. He goes to paradise. He preaches to those who are in prison. And on the third day, he rises from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, how many of you know Jesus? Huh? The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Isn't that amazing? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Paul now makes clear to us that your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Dwells within us. Praise be unto God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful reality. Mary Magdalene sees Jesus after he is raised from the dead. Jesus said, don't touch me yet. I haven't gone to the Father. Which tells me he didn't yet have a glorified body. He had a spirit body Moses and Elijah at the transfiguration of Jesus. But he didn't yet have a glorified body that was touchable. And so the scripture seems to imply, Ephesians chapter 4, that Jesus took all of the Old Testament saints with him and went into the very presence of God. Now I want you to picture this. This is very important, because this was the moment of Jesus entering heaven. How many angels are there? Millions of angels. And as Jesus enters heaven with Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Joseph and Samuel, all the Old Testament prophets, all the Old Testament people that were children of God, and including the thief, as they all go into the very presence of God, because now we know that when you die as a believer, you're absent from the body and you don't go to paradise. You go into the very presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so Jesus comes with all of the Old Testament saints. And I see them following him as he enters into heaven. And heaven has never been louder. Heaven has never been louder. All of the angels of heaven are rejoicing. All of the angels of heaven are giving praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, who has now won the victory over sin and death and hell and the grave. Praise God. It's a wonderful picture, because heaven had never been louder and hell had never been more quiet because of all that Jesus Christ had done. Jesus told those in heaven, I'll be right back. And he came to earth, and he revealed himself to his disciples and to many others over 40 days, 500 at one time, probably Mary, Martha and Lazarus, probably his mother and his half-brothers and sisters, many, many others. And after 40 days, he's at the Mount of Olives, and he ascends into heaven after commissioning his disciples with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The disciples watch him go into heaven. And as they watch him go into heaven, they keep watching and they keep looking. And there's two angels standing behind them, but they don't even notice the angels. They're just looking up into heaven. And now all they're seeing is blue sky. Jesus is now in heaven, no longer visible. And finally, the angels, I find this kind of humorous, the angels finally speak up and said, why are you guys keep looking up into heaven? The same Jesus who has gone into heaven will so come in like manner. So where does hope come from? Hope comes from us looking back to the resurrection. It comes from us looking back to the resurrection. And we've done that this morning, but I want you to keep doing it regularly. Look back, meditate on, think on, focus on the power of the resurrected Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. It's a wonderful, wonderful reality. Let me quickly move on, because that's only part of where our hope comes from. Our hope not only comes from looking back to the resurrection, but our hope comes from looking forward to our inheritance in Christ. In fact, Peter mentions it right here. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Did you know that you have an inheritance in heaven? Heaven is not only a place. It is a place. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a topos for you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's tangible. It's real. It's not a figment of your imagination. Heaven is a real place. But heaven is not only a real place. Heaven is also a place of inheritance. A place of inheritance. Listen to Paul's words in Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Everything. How many believe that Jesus deserves inheritance? Of course. But everything that belongs to Jesus, he's going to share it with you. He's going to share it with me. It's an amazing reality. It's humbling. It's something that should bring us to our knees regularly, the reality that God, not only have you prepared a place for us, not only are we going to go to heaven one day because of our faith in Christ, but you have actually said you're going to share your inheritance with us. Everything that belongs to you is going to belong to us. My, my, how wonderful, how powerful that is. And how we should rejoice in it. No wonder we should pray like Jesus told us to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride, which is you and me, the Spirit and the bride say, come. There should be in your heart and my heart regularly, not only looking back to the resurrection, but looking forward to our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Number three, not only are we look back and look forward, but Romans chapter 15 tells us this, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You have hope by looking back to the resurrection. Say that, back to the resurrection. You have hope by looking forward to your inheritance in Christ. Forward to your inheritance in Christ. And you have hope because of the Word of God. And I would say to you, you ignore the Word of God at your own peril. Read the Word. Study the Word. Feast on the Word. If you don't have regular devotional life, make sure that you begin to do that on a regular basis. And you can talk to the leadership here as far as how to do it. But I am thankful for the power of the Word of God in our lives. Hillsong wrote a song. I've never heard it sung at any church yet. Maybe worship here will sing it one day. It's called Your Word is Revelation. Before the earth knew its foundations, you spoke the dust into creation until the end when all has withered. Then still your word will endure forever. The lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. Your word will not be shaken. Your word will never fail me. Like a fire in my bones, like a whisper to my soul, your word is revelation. Many of you have experienced that on a regular basis. You go to the Word and you read a portion of Scripture and you think, my goodness, I've read this 100 times, but now all of a sudden something is coming alive to my heart from the Word today. And I pray that will happen every day for you as you go to the Word of God. So we look back to the resurrection. We look forward to our inheritance in heaven. We look into the Scripture. And lastly, we look up to the Holy Spirit. We look up to the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. If you want hope, you're going to find it by looking back to the resurrection, by looking forward to your inheritance in Christ, by looking into the Scripture, and by looking up to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in Luke 11, if a natural father will give good gifts to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I want you to stand with me this morning as the worship team comes, and I want to, as a benediction over you today, I want to speak Romans 15, verse 13 over you. And I just want to encourage you to close your eyes and open your hands and receive the word of the Lord this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This morning we receive the power of the resurrection. We receive the power of heaven. We receive the power of your word. And we receive this morning the power of your Holy Spirit to work powerfully in our lives, so that we might day after day after day after day abound in hope in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.
That you have joy and peace from God. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is doing a new work in you, afresh and anew, that you are abiding in His Word each and every day, that you are spending time with God and cultivating your relationship with Him. Good relationships can only be established by spending time. It is time with God that enhances your relationship and increases your faith and your ability to trust in Him. And that is why spending time with God is so important. because in times of difficulty, in times of trouble, you are able to draw strength from the Spirit of the Lord. He imparts it to you as you commune with God, as you spend time with Him. And you will begin to see that no matter what is taking place, you will be able to have confidence in knowing that God is with you and that He will enable you to overcome every obstacle. You will see God begin to open doors and He will begin to cause things to work out in your behalf. That is what the Lord does. He cares for His own. He cares for us. He cares for His children. Just as you care for your children, the Lord cares for His. And even in greater ways, because God has endless resource and He has the ability to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. So I want to encourage you today, and I pray that you have been blessed by this word of hope from Pastor Dave. We thank you, Pastor Dave, for that awesome word of hope. Thank you. We are so grateful for his ministry, this Great Commission Media. And if you would like to give toward this ministry, we're going to take up an offering here today. And if God has placed it on your heart to give, then we are providing the mechanism and the opportunity to you. This doesn't go to us. This goes towards the media campaigns around the world. And all the things that you saw in this video that we showed earlier, this is what today's, this offering here now is going toward. And if you're giving online or you want to use our smart giving or through our app, you can certainly just go in and put in your amount, and after the amount, leave a space and just write missions, and it will go, for today, it will go to Dave Ogren up for the next, in fact, we'll keep it open for a while. Next Sunday is actually Back to Church Sunday. It is a mission Sunday, so we'll have it open through that. And so I do encourage you, if the Lord has placed it on your heart to give and to support, then we will do that. So I just want to pray, and then we will close out with our benediction. Well, Lord, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, for your word. And we're thankful for our brother Dave, who has come, and he has shared what you have given for him to give to us. We know, Lord, that you speak through your people. And even as he sought you to hear from you, Lord, you brought this message to us today, a message of hope, that we are to hope in you and that you are our hope and that we can have peace and confidence in knowing we can trust in you, that you are with us. You will not leave us nor forsake us because you surrendered all. You died for us. You gave your life for us, and we receive that in Jesus' name. We thank you for this offering. I ask a special blessing upon those who give for this work and this ministry above and beyond their tithe, that the work of God may be accomplished in the outreaches of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is with you, and that God is being glorified in your life. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is charging you and enabling you, that you will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness, and every good work would be being worked out through you in Jesus' name. We thank you all for coming out today to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship to worship, worshiping together with us, for hearing the word of the Lord, that we may be his ambassadors as we go out into this very challenging world, that the glory of God may be lifted up and exalted.